May your word live in us and bear much fruit to your glory. Amen. Psalm 121 is one of the most well-known psalms. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? The Old Testament reading always has a response, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and the response is the psalm. So we heard of Abraham leaving everything he had, travelling with his wife Sarai and going to the new place that God had planned for him. So where would he have found his help? He would have found it in God. You can imagine him saying these words as he travels along. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? And last week, we heard of Jesus who was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and who was being tempted by Satan. And what was it that he was saying to Satan? I look to God. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is a beautiful psalm. In Crookwell, it was said at just about every funeral, because I don't know if you know the area around Crookwell, but it's on top of the Great Dividing Range and there's hills all around us and everyone in their daily lives lifts their eyes to the hills. I live in Tuggeranong, and as I drive down along the parkway and I get to the crest of the hill for the Tuggeranong Valley and you look over and there is the Brindabellas in all of their glory and majesty. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? I say every day. And this morning as I was coming in, I'm not quite sure why there wasn't a car accident, not me of course, but other people on the road, because as we were driving in and then looking in towards the city, which is also surrounded by all of the hills, and the sun was rising, and then the sky was full of balloons. It was just glorious, and all I wanted to do was stop, and I could see all of these people who were driving up to the top of the Arboretum to have a look at the view, and I was like, do you think I can be late, Lord? Do you think I can get up there? But I didn't. I came to church instead. I think that this is a great choice for the season of Lent, this going on a journey with God, the journey that Abram and Sarai went on today. Last week, we read from the beginning of Genesis the story of creation. And the thing that came from that story was twofold. The first, that God's created the world, and the second, that God has given each of us in this world a choice as to how to respond to God. Today's readings go on further and tell us that God is active in this world that he has made. God is compassionate, and God gives people a future and saves them from their past. And as the psalm tells us, God doesn't slip up either. Whether we're awake or asleep, God keeps us. Often in scripture, a word is repeated many times, and it wasn't in the version that we read today because that's the version from the prayer book designed especially to be spoken. But in the original Psalm 121, God keeps us is repeated 6 times. And we are reminded too that we have been told to keep God's ways. And so God keeping Abram and Sarai is asking them to keep God's ways is, of course, what this small reading from Genesis was all about. Abram is shown here as someone who passed aside all of his previous loyalties. He entrusts his life and his future to God's care. Because this wasn't just a story of geography to move from there to there. It was far more, because to leave his country, his kindred group, and his father's house meant that he left everything behind that anchored him to all he knew, everything that anchored him to society, everything that anchored his life's meaning, except God. And this story, each one of us can read for ourselves to mean that we can put behind all meaning in life that we find in material things and instead find it in God. It's the story that's repeated again and again through the Bible. It's the story of the loss of Job. It's the story of the calling of the prophets. It's the story of the making of the people of Israel. It is the story of faith, as Paul tells us in the Romans reading. Abram and Sarah's righteousness in God's eyes are a result of their faith. Abram and Sarah's future, the whole world's future, is kept by the loving, compassionate God who doesn't sleep. As I said, last week's reading spoke to us of choice, of the choice we have to follow God, and the choice we have for faith. Lent is an opportunity for us to slow down and reflect on our faith, just what it means to us today. And today we have two very different pictures of what faith is. First of all, we have Abram, whose deep faith leads him to leave everything, to go into an unknown future, trusting in God's care. And then Nicodemus, whose shallow interpretation of Scripture suggests literalists, which are part of all of the world's religions, including Christianity. These people who take the Scriptures literally are the people that Jesus urged to look beyond the letter of the Scripture to its real meaning. Remember, Matthew uses the word repent, to change your understanding. Nicodemus's story starts a little earlier than our reading today. At the end of the second chapter, a comment is made that many believed in Jesus because they see the signs that he was doing. And Nicodemus represents many of us who are curious but cautious, who look carefully at the question of faith and then think that it comes down to the weighing of evidence and drawing sane, logical conclusions. Remember, Nicodemus is described in great detail. He's described as a Pharisee, one who is known for their holiness. He's described as a leader of the people, one who should know their scripture. But Jesus makes it clear here that more is needed for faith than Nicodemus understands. Do we just see the signs around us? Do we want there to always be miraculous signs, like water turning into wine and the best bakery story in the world? Or are we willing to accept another miracle of faith to be real in our lives? And that miracle is that our spiritual eyes are opened when we are born spiritually, just as our physical eyes are opened when we're born physically. This verse, of course, is the one that contains probably the most well-known of all of the verses in the New Testament. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And it's a pity that this little section 2 is also one that is most contested, because sometimes the translation says that we need to be born again to be born of the Spirit. And that, as you know, has caused arguments in churches across many years. The version that we read uses the language being born from above. You'll often see it also being born anew. The original Greek, I understand, can mean either. We had a visitor at church this morning from the 8 o'clock service, and he came up to me after the service and said that he'd taught the Gospel of John for 30 years and named me the Greek word, which I now cannot give you, and said that the only time that it's mistranslated as born again is in this passage. Every other time that word is used for again instead of above. Every other time the word is used in the New Testament, it always says above. I personally love the thought of it being above, because that has that same symbolism as the psalm. Our help comes from above, from the Lord. Jesus was telling Nicodemus in this story that his view of the world was really just one-dimensional, because he can only see in terms of human existence. And that's where he finds the power and the organisation with safe laws and the order that's been built around them designed to give reassurance and faith that all is right in the world if you will but just follow the rules. That's what flesh means in the passage. But what's lacking in this picture for Nicodemus is what really gives life in the world. Spirit, divine spirit. Nicodemus can't see the spirit moving in the world. Now, flesh can't give birth to spirit. Nicodemus can't move from his one-dimensional view of the world to God's dimensional view on his own. There's nothing he can do to make it happen. All of his religious knowledge, his years of learning, and his teachings can't make it happen. Only faith in God can make it happen. This is the gift of God's grace. It is that the Spirit of God is born, as it were, into our lives to allow us to see God's Spirit moving in our lives, in our world, being born from above, lifting our eyes to the hills from where God's help comes. Jesus is offering Nicodemus the same choice that God made Abram, to cast aside their previous loyalties and to find meaning and purpose in God. To stop finding meaning in life from the worldly things around them, even if they're cloaked in the language of religion. And instead, for them and us, to trust our future in God's care. Because God has for us the very thing needed to make that happen. The gift of faith. The gift of spiritual life that is as real as the gift of physical life that Nicodemus and you and I and Jesus already have. And when our eyes are opened by this gift, we can clearly see Jesus. We can see not a miracle worker who wants to impress, but God's own Son who came to give life. And Jesus knows this spiritual life himself because he has come from above to earth and will be lifted up again. And when we see this, we understand something else. That this isn't a spirit of condemnation, which the law could so easily become, but a spirit of freedom, of future, a spirit of life. So, today, let's take up God's invitation to see and live in a new way. Just as we're alive to the world around us because we're born in it, we're also invited to be alive to God's spirit in the world around us. Being born into it through God. This is a gift from God, and we call it faith.